At this time, make frantic hand gestures as the most powerful men in Canada discuss top tech. This week, TV calibration.
So, Beach, I hear you actually got a new projector and you spent the last couple weekends crushing the blacks. It's an industry term.
Yes.
Almost every TV that you get at a store has been set up to be used and displayed and look good in a brightly lit store. And it generally, when you get it home, it looks terrible.
Well, let's be fair. Every TV that you go to a store to go buy has usually had its brightness crank the hell up, the contrast at its absolute maximum, and in some cases they go looking for the sharpness meter and turn that sucker all the way up. Because what they're trying to do is attract your eye.
They actually usually have a special mode, too.
Yes.
TVs that they set them into, which is specifically for displaying in the stores. And it's terrible.
It is terrible.
That's a new thing they do now because it basically turns on every feature, including the 120 hertz, the motion flow compensation. Let's not blame 120 or 240 hertz on this. It's more the motion flow compensation that does it.
That is a function you want to turn off right away. It will make your video look terrible.
Okay, but Johnny, seriously, I paid for that. Why should I turn it off?
Because it will make your eyes bleed. I remember when I got my HD TV, Tammy said, you need to take this television back. This looks like garbage. What is going on? It looks like cheap Handycam video. Why is this film look so terrible? And I looked through the settings and I said, oh, the motion compensation. Flow. As you mentioned, Beej, it always labels it as 120 hertz or 240 hertz or whatever the maximum refresh rate of your television is. And you're like, well, that's what I paid for, is a fast refresh television, so I wouldn't have these problems. Turning this feature off, won't that make my television look worse? No, turn it off. Turn it off as soon as you get your television. Even without those preset calibrated for store presentation modes, just in general, televisions are meant to look good in stores. And unless you calibrate them at home, they're not going to look as good.
I feel like we dived in head first. We might need to ratchet this back a little bit.
I got to give you exact reason why you want to turn that cuss off and actually get down to calibrating your TV. The reason is you want your picture quality on your TV at home to look exactly the way the director of that television program or that film that you're watching wanted it to look.
Exactly.
They want the blacks to be a certain level, they want the colors to be a certain temperature, and they don't want it to look like crappy Handycam footage.
We're big nerds, and we love our movies to look as good as possible, but I guarantee, even if you just take one or two things away from this show and go home and try them, your movie-going experience at home will be vastly improved. You spent a lot of money on a Blu-ray player and a television, and all these discs that you've bought, why not get a little bit more out of them? You might not be able to get it calibrated to be exactly as the director intended, but you can get a lot closer than how the settings are set up by default.
I want to get a little techie here, a little over-techie, if I could.
Not on this show, Beach.
Yeah, not on this show. What we're talking about, motion flow compensation, or they call it a lot of things. They'll call it true motion. They'll call it cinema flow. There's like a whole bunch of different names that have been given.
All of them sound really like things that you do in the bathroom,
yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. And it's usually an off-on whenever you see that kind of thing. If you look through your instruction manual and came with an instruction manual and you should break that sucker out and have a look, I find them fascinating to read. There's a chip and some software built into your television that as it's receiving each frame of whatever it is that's going on in your television, so in this case, if you're bringing a TV show into your house, if it's coming over cable or satellite, you're getting that at very near 30 frames a second. If you're watching something on Blu-ray, a lot of times you're watching it in 24 frames a second if it's a film. And that's because this has to go way, 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 way back to when they used to make films, is that they used to shoot them 20 individual frames. When you watch 24 frames go by your eye, the illusion of motion makes it look like something's moving because you're seeing these 24 frames and they're all different little frames. Everyone understands that. With TV, they decide to set on 30 because of the way that the NTSC standard of encoding works in our country is that stuff gets sent out at 30 frames a second because your screen is refreshing at a certain rate. And it's all very, very complicated, and I don't know the exact physics behind it.
I believe it has something to do with the refresh rate of power in this country.
Yes, because it's 60 hertz
yes.
Is your refresh rate of your power. And now we've gotten way into a rat hole.
And that's so, why in Europe, of course, they're at 50 hertz and they have 25 frames a second.
Exactly. So the idea is that the guys who've made your television have taken this chip and they said, hey, we can turn on kind of a smoothing effect that we can insert a bunch of extra frames that aren't actually there. They're essentially what we call interpolated. They're the in-between frames that don't exist. They say, well, I have a frame that looks like this and I have a frame that has a slight movement. What if I draw a couple dozen frames in between there that kind of shows the movement between the movement, and it's supposed to make it look more realistic, which is great if you're watching something like sports, because now all of a sudden your sports game, the guys look like they're actually supposed to anyway, look like they're actually moving in real life. It looks kind of like, as you said, Johnny, like handycam footage. The problem is that our eyes, even though they're dumb, they interpret still pictures as motion. They're smart enough to get the fact that this doesn't actually look right the way we expect it. And when you go watch a film, when you see 24 frames a second all of a sudden interpolated to be 120 frames a second, your eye isn't really expecting that. It's expecting to see it at 24 frames a second. We can implement this chip and this algorithm so that everything displays at hundreds of frames, and that'll be awesome. The problem is when you're watching a movie or when you're watching just straight TV, it starts to look weird to you because you've been so used to watching it a certain way.
It's not just that our eyes aren't used to it. Whenever you're interpolating data, you're making things up, it's not going to look as good as the original footage. So they're basically adding stuff that didn't exist. Every time you do that with technology, it's going to make it look worse.
But you can't make extra frames. It's impossible.
You can't start with nothing and then have something come out of it. It looks like handycam footage. It just looks too real. As Johnny was saying, you sit down and you watch a film on your brand new TV, and it just isn't really sucking you in because everything looks to be like you're watching a bunch of people running around outside. Motion flow is probably the reason why.
We can't spend the whole show talking about interpolation. Turn it off. No. That's the basic takeaway from this.
We recommend turning it off. Yeah.
Please turn it off. And that will make things a lot easier. But there's a bunch of other things that you need to think about in setting up your television. You don't want to try and calibrate your television in the middle of the day with all the curtains open and all the lights on, because that's not how you're going to watch movies. You want to change the lighting in the room that you're watching the movie when you're doing your calibration to look like how it would look when you're trying to watch a movie.
In some cases, though, that is going to mean that wait until nighttime when you're going to sit down and watch a movie. Wait until the evening when the sun's gone down a bit and when you can close your curtains or whatever, and do it then. Don't try to arbitrarily make this all happen yourself. Do it around the time you think you're going to watch TV.
Yeah, and what I generally recommend is getting as many lights off as possible. You don't want any direct light on your television. To prevent too much eye strain, you want a little bit of light in the room that's not coming just from the television. And so one recommendation is to put a light, if you can, behind your television. So it's not shining on the screen, but the room isn't completely dark. Completely dark room is okay, but it's better to have a little bit of light in there.
As far as secondary light sources go, if you have any home theater equipment, try to find out if they have a dim setting so you can turn down the lights that are on the front of your stereo or on the front of your DVD player, because those big bright blue LEDs, you probably thought, why does it suck so much to watch TV in this room? It's because you've been staring at blue LEDs and they're distracting your eye, because our eyes love to pick up the color blue.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the other thing you want to do when you're doing calibration is, this seems strange, but leave your television on for about 30 minutes before you start calibrating it. Because the color and brightness of your television, even on LCDs, does change considerably after it's been on for a few minutes. And so if you try and calibrate it when it's first on, it's not going to be right for how you're actually going to watch it when you're in a full-length movie.
I don't own a LCD standard TV or whatever. I have a projector. I know that I have to leave mine on for about 5 or 10 minutes to actually get the light hot enough and bright enough and get everything kind of going, because it's the backlights that are the issue here. It's the same with plasmas. It's the same with LED lit LCD TVs.
The colors are going to be different after, I'm not sure if 30 minutes is the exact number, and it's probably going to be different from television to television, but you definitely want to have it on and warming up before.
Just to be safe.
Yeah. The terms brightness and contrast, which are used in television calibration, are not what people generally think. Brightness actually has nothing to do with how bright the white areas of your television is. It's actually all about your black level. And brightness that's set too low will lack any kind of real detail in the shadows. And too high, everything will look washed out. Whereas contrast is actually the white level. So if you have your contrast really high, the whites are really bright. And if you turn it low, it makes the whites really quite a lot darker and grayer.
And let's not even get into hue and saturation just yet.
Yeah.
No, that's the whole other thing.
That's the more complicated stuff.
However, this does bring us to the important section of this. When you are going ahead and trying to calibrate your television for an optimal viewing experience, you really should have some sort of a reference point. And for that, you're probably going to need a disc of some sort.
Something there's some great back. Ones on the AVS forum. If you go and search the AVS forums, there's a really great Blu-ray MP4 calibration file that you can download for free, and you can burn it to a regular DVD and play it in your Blu-ray player and run the calibration that way.
Now, let me tell you this, Johnny, as well, actually. If you're not willing to go trying to download something and burning it to a DVD, go to your you should be supporting your local rental place anyway. Go there and grab one of their Criterion Collection DVDs. And I do believe that those have a THX reference on them, don't
they? No, they don't have THX reference on them, but they almost all have color bars and some calibration tools on them. But THX doesn't, as far as I know, doesn't have a partnership with Criterion at all, but some THX certified DVDs and Blu-rays, of course, will have the THX calibration stuff. And they're decent, but the one on the AVS forum, I was looking through it, and there's a lot of really great tools on there, and it looks really easy to use.
As Ian said, going and finding a movie that maybe you already own or that's a high-quality movie that has color bars on it, that's not a bad place to start. It does mean that you have to try to get some knowledge of how you want the colors to look when you see them, and maybe you don't want to go through the hassles of that. If you want something that maybe is a little more automated and a little bit easier to do, I know there are home theater essential DVDs and Blu-rays now that you can get that will lead you through the steps to calibrate not only your television but also your home theater system. And I think Disney now actually puts out a DVD or a Blu-ray. I think it's actually a two-pack now that does the same thing. It's a Disney Digital or Disney Essential or whatever they call it. I don't think Goofy leads you through all the steps, though that would be wicked.
That would be so good.
Actually, I believe they put together a Goofy-based setting up your home theater short.
That might actually be on the disc then. That would make sense to me. Like anyone listening to this, they're like, man, I am still, you know, I can't download a DVD or burn a DVD and I can't do any of these other things. What you might try is check out your local library, because when I got wind of these things and I'm like, hey, well, you know, my library where I work, we have a decent DVD library. Why don't we have this? Because this seems like an excellent reference for people who might be interested in this kind of thing. Go check out your local library and see if they have it. If they don't, request it. Because the librarians actually will bring in stuff like that, because that makes the library popular. People will come there and borrow the disc so that they can use it on their players at home.
Actually, be just looking through this AVS disc, mm-hmm. Go and get that. You really should. I'm going to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's awesome. But even if you are not going to do any of these calibration discs, putting in a good quality movie that you know well and following some of the things we talked about before, the situation you want to be in when you calibrate, you want to turn off that motion control stuff. You generally want to turn the sharpness all the way off. In most televisions, sharpness is an artificial effect to make it look like your television's more sharp, but it actually adds a halo effect around all of the edges of the lines in your video.
Oh, and for the love of God, please, please, please turn your TV's aspect ratio system to just scan.
Yes.
Or whatever the equivalent is. Do not stretch in any direction.
Yeah, if you're wondering why people's faces are so wide, it's because you're watching something that's 4x3 and you're stretching it to fill the screen.
I don't care if you feel like you paid for all those extra pixels and you need to make sure that your show fills the whole screen. No!
You want to put it to just scan if that's an option. The options will be named something different on different televisions, but generally that's what it's called, is just scan or full mode. Full screen will be the other one.
The lesson really to take away from a lot of this too is that these things are easy enough to do, and that it wouldn't even take longer than 20 minutes, I think, to kind of go through the settings. If you have your instruction manual, have your remote handy, go through the settings on your TV, turn some of these off, adjust them, and you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to pay somebody at Geek Squad to come to your house to set it all up for you. You should be able to do it yourself, and ultimately what you're interested in is the picture that's right for you. If you think that your TV doesn't look quite right, or you're like, I wonder if I can do better, give it a shot, and you might be surprised with the results.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's lots of useful information, and hopefully our listeners could go and make their viewing at home a little better. So for the most powerful men in Canada, I'm Johnny Blakeborough.
I'm Ian Horner.
And I have a red and a blue bar at the top and bottom of my projector that I really need to fix. I'm Brendan Beachtree.
Thanks for joining us.
The Most Powerful Men in Canada would love to hear from you. Please contact us by visiting our website at toptech.tiltyhouse.com if you have any comments or if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover in a future show.